Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts, chapter 7. Title of today's message is the Acts 1:8 Mandate. The last recorded words of Jesus before his ascension into heaven are found in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." To the Jew first, to those that were part Jew, to the Gentiles of the world. I'd like to thank you for your part in the worldwide mission outreach of the Covenant Baptist Church. Our church currently supports 59 families and or individuals serving in foreign countries, plus 29 miscellaneous projects and programs, which include 3 home mission projects, the Croatian Bible Translation Project, Voice of the Good Shepherd radio station in Honduras, Beams Bibles, etc. Would you please stand now as we read from the book of Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 51. We realize in Acts chapter 7 that Stephen has been giving his testimony and giving a brief history lesson. And he says in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which served showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of Stephen. And Lord, in a little while, we'll read of the thoughts of Philip. We thank you for him. But Lord, what we appreciate most is that Saul, a rebel, a hater of believers, would be converted, and you would use him as the greatest missionary that ever walked the face of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to come and sing the songs of praise, to give our tithes and offerings. And Lord, bless this time in the Word of God, and we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Point number one, the mandate. The mandate of the church was that they were to go into all the world, thus to be scattered abroad. Often when reading this text, our attention is on the words great persecution. And we ponder the thought that how could the Lord possibly allow his believers, his followers, to be persecuted? The Bible says that they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria. The Lord had wanted his disciples to be witnesses, as you remember, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. We see here the mandate was being fulfilled, but not in a conventional way. May I say this, that it is a joy to see people called or to see them surrender their lives to full-time Christian ministry. Three such men and their families that went into service were the Neil Jackson family, the Jim Foster family, and the Bob Plenis family. And none of these were young men. All of them were established in their careers, all of them in middle age, and all of them feeling the call of the Lord upon their lives, surrendered to be used of the Lord. The conventional way to gain more surrendered Christians is to have a revival meeting or a mission conference in which a missionary preaches. Hearts are then stirred, and people feel the call of the Lord upon their lives. A second blessing is when God's people step up to the challenge and the task of sending those that are willing to go into all the world. The Lord had kept his part of the job by sending the Holy Spirit. But the disciples and the followers of the Lord were quite content to stay in Jerusalem. We remember the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church, and they were not going out into Judea and into Samaria. They were content to remain in Jerusalem. And so what happens is that the Lord had to kind of do something that was unconventional. He had to, shall we say, nudge them out the door. Thus, God sent persecution to the early church to send them to Judea and Samaria. We must not become complacent about getting the Word of God out to the world. It is the most important task the church has, is to proclaim the gospel, not only within its own walls, but the sending forth of the gospel to other places. When Donna and I go on vacation, we enjoy visiting churches. And when there, I always check out their mission board. I want to see who they are supporting. I want to see who they are sending money to that I know, that maybe we also support them. But sometimes I will admit nobody on their mission board is someone I know. And I'm blessed by that, to know that there are other men and women who are going out sending the gospel that I have no news of. But why missions? Because men and women are dying and going to hell, most of them having never heard the gospel message. If these early believers had never left Jerusalem, we would find ourselves in a very serious spiritual situation, wouldn't we? If the gospel message was only heard there in Jerusalem. But thank God it did go out to Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Aren't you glad that the gospel message went into Europe? Aren't you glad that the gospel message has been sent to other continents of the world? Praise God for that. Though the early church was greatly burdened by the persecution, our Lord and Savior saw the bigger picture. Yes, he would have been bothered by those that were persecuted, but the message had to get out. The coronavirus has brought some unconventional ways of getting the message out to the community. Now, I must admit, I never thought I would be a TV personality. Right now, the video was running, and I do not know how many people may be watching. I wave at you, and you can wave at me, though I can't see you. But that is something that I never dreamed I would do, or that the Covenant Baptist Church would do. I was talking to a pastor who said they had drive-in services and gave pizza away as they left the parking lot. One church in Washington State, maybe it was Oregon, one or the other, they had a drive-in service where they used loudspeakers. And it could be heard a half mile away from the church. You know, the fact is, unconventional ways have been used to spread the gospel. Point number two, the martyr. Notice in Acts 8, verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Stephen was killed because of his stand for the cause of Christ. We've often said or heard it said, I would do anything for God. Well, Stephen proved it by giving his life. We probably all have seen the bumper sticker honoring fallen heroes that says, many gave some gave all. We realize that there are those who have given all. I was just recently reading an article about the five that died there in Ecuador when they landed their little plane into an area and wanted to be a witness for the Lord. And the five of them were martyred for the faith. And you would think, well, nothing ever happened. No, the family still went. And great conversion was made of those who went in after those first five were martyred for the faith. Daniel was willing to give his life for the sake of honoring the Lord Jehovah. We know he was thrown into the lion's den, and God spared him and brought him out, and the testimony went abroad. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not afraid of the burning fiery furnace and were willing to die for the cause of the Lord. I sometimes wonder if Saul changed his name to Paul because he was influenced by the great faith of Stephen. Saul means bold. Paul means small. And so Saul changed his name to Paul. I wonder if we will be embarrassed when we bump into Stephen in heaven and we think of what he did for the cause of Christ. Let me ask you a question. I'll be asking you a lot of questions during this sermon. What are we willing to sacrifice for our Savior? I was reading an interesting story this past week. A woman was checking out at the grocery store. And you know how all the landmines are right there at the cash register with all these candies the kids want? And the little boy was saying to his mother, I want some gummy bears. And the mother said, honey, you know, right now we can't get gummy bears because your daddy has lost his job. Now that's sad, isn't it? She felt a nudge on the back of her shoulder. And a man was handing her a $50 bill, and he says, I think you dropped this, ma'am. You know, sometimes we think, I don't want to have to do that, but have you ever been willing to sacrifice something for someone? I remember Don and I were in line at the Golden Corral. I haven't been back to the Golden Corral for a while. I think I want to go back there again soon. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. And we were next in line, and the couple that was in front of us turned to us and said, "We'll take care of your ticket." And I said to the man, I said, "Well, that's very nice." I said, "I don't even know you." And he said, "All the better." Have you ever been willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ? To give above and beyond what is necessary? Thank you for those who do. As America becomes more and more hostile towards Christians, are we willing to pay the ultimate price to remain faithful to and for the cause of Christ? One is written, if we want to make a difference, we must willingly give up dreams and die to self. When was the last time you spoke up? You have mentioned to someone the need of the Lord. Parents, grandparents, are you willing to pray that God will use your offspring to serve the Lord here or around the world? How many young people have been discouraged to go to a Christian school because they're told, well, you cannot earn a lot of money if you go into church work, and you can earn a whole lot more if you stay in secular work? When it comes to our children, are we willing to pray to the Lord, thy will be done? Point number three, the murderer. Verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Paul wreaked havoc by killing not only Stephen, but others that followed the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He used his authority to arrest men and women. The devil used him to cause destruction among the church. Let it be declared today that our spiritual enemies are still wreaking havoc in the church by bringing in damnable heresies, by bringing in entertainment and pushing out the truth of the Word of God. For those in the early church, they had to fear for their lives just for assembling together. One of my pastor acquaintances had in his office a picture of a Romanian body of believers meeting in the woods for a church service, standing in the snow for fear of being found. For those in the early church, they were willing to give their life. Verse 1 says, there was a great persecution and they were all scattered abroad. What if because it got tough, they had given up? It's what we do a lot of times, isn't it? We give up. On my phone, can I tell you that it's really not my phone? It's Donna's phone and she shoved it in my hands. But on the phone, I can play Spider Solitary. And if it gets tough, it says, do you want to play a new game? And I usually say no, and I backspace. And I start over again. And I'll get to a point, and it will say, do you want to give up and play another game? It continually wants me to give up and play another game. And I say, no, I want to finish this game. You know, sometimes we can become stubborn. Can I tell you this? We need to be stubborn for the Lord. We need to stand for what is true and honest and biblical. Have you ever been nudged by the Lord to be a witness, but you were afraid? Have you ever said, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not sure I'm ready for this? Well, what's the best way of learning to do something? Doing it, right? Doing it. I can just hear that early church, them saying, I don't know, Lord, there's this guy Saul who's wreaking havoc, and you let him continue. Why don't you make him go blind? That was supposed to be humorous there, folks, because what happens to Paul, Saul? He goes blind, doesn't he? Though he does receive his sight again. We note the attitude of the church as Saul was turning their lives upside down. Verse 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. So instead of stopping the church, he was helping spread the church as they went out and took the gospel. They did not quit because it was too difficult or because of the fear of possible persecution. They were already being persecuted by Saul. One of their own had been stoned. Their lives were already in danger. Our spiritual enemy is going to oppose the church that is sounding forth the gospel message. Can I say this? We should be glad when Satan attacks us, because he doesn't attack someone who isn't doing anything for Christ. He attacks those who are doing something for Christ. And thus we must put on the whole armor of God, that we may stand against the wiles of the devil, so that we can be used of the Lord in a mighty way. Our enemy wants to silence us. Our enemy wants to distract us. Our enemy wants to cause division in the body of believers. Our enemy wants us to stop giving to missions. Our enemy wants us to stop caring for the lost. Our enemy wants us to take our eyes off the Lord and put them on ourselves. Our enemy wants us to stumble and fall and to remain in the mire of the world. Which brings us to point number 4, the miracle. Don't you like a good story? Let's begin reading at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. The church is to preach the word of God. That is our task. The Bible is to be our textbook. It is where we are to get our inspiration. The church is to make known the need to repent. The church does need to tell people to repent, right? Shouldn't that be the cry of the pastor behind this pulpit, that one needs to repent if sin is in one's life? The church is to sound forth the warning of hellfire. And yet how many churches today will not even use the word hell in their services? Oh, there's a heaven, they'll declare. But they don't want to talk about the fact that there is a hell, where men and women that do not know Christ as their Savior will spend eternity. The church is to be a lifeboat and not a cruise ship. We are to be concerned about those who are dying. The church needs to keep its eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. I believe that the power of the gospel is greater than the darkness of any false religion. But what do we have to do? We have to send the light. They must realize that they are in darkness, because Satan hath blinded them to their need of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. The church needs to preach that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The church needs to continue to declare that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It needs to be our message. It needs to be the thought that we prepare to send out week in and week out. The church needs to have as its message that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm glad that this church has proclaimed the gospel message for 65 years. That it has not been afraid to call sin, sin, and that one needs to repent. Yes, there are those who have come and heard the message and said, I don't like that place. They're mean. Did Jesus Christ tell people to repent? Yes. What did they do to Jesus Christ? They crucified him. Did John the Baptist declare that people needed to repent? What did they do to John the Baptist? They cut off his head. Did the Apostle Paul declare that the Word of God needs to come into our lives and that we need to repent? And what did they do to Paul? They beat him. They stoned him. They left him for dead. And finally, his head was removed. 10 of the original disciples were martyred for the faith. Peter was hung upside down. The apostle John was boiled in oil. What are we willing to do for the cause of Christ? Well, we can sit around and praise God for the power of the gospel, what most churches do. We can rejoice at whosoever can come unto Christ. But someone must be willing to take the gospel to our United States of America. Someone must be willing to go to Samaria. Someone must be willing to go to Central and South America. Someone must be willing to go to Africa or Asia or Europe or the Pacific Ring, etc. Someone must put aside the hurts and the hardships and go. The mandate is not complete. Someone must be willing to go. Even if it's till to Utica and Shelby Township and Sterling Heights and Clinton Township and Macomb Township, someone or some ones must be willing. Shall we stand together? Our song of invitation this morning, as it was last week, is Just As I Am. We must be willing to come to the Lord. We must be willing to surrender ourselves to the Lord, just as you are, and say, Lord, take me, use me, have your hand upon me. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this time. May your name be honored and glorified, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.